Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Hey, the presence of God is really thick here, and I want you to just honor the worship team, and they did such a great job to bring in the presence of God. Can we just honor them? Just one more time, come on. Awesome. I sense such a presence of God here that God just wants to do something amazing today. He wants to release His love over here today in a very, very special way. And some of you are going to encounter a really special encounter with God today. And the Bible tells us it's not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. I want you to give your best applause right now. You know, in the Bible there is in the middle of the Bible, there's this chapter called Psalm 117. It's the 595th chapter of the Bible. Left, on the left is like right to the middle of this is 594 chapters, and right the other side is 594 chapters. I want to read to you Psalm 117 here, and it's just two verses here, and it's a very short verse. Very, very simple verse, but I think that it anchors entirely what the Bible has to say. The entire of this Bible, it says this, it says, "Praise the Lord, all you people, applaud Him, for His mercy, kindness is great towards us, and His love endures forever." Come on, we need to give the loudest praise to God. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to give your best praise to Jesus for the next 10 seconds. Alright, your loudest praise to Jesus. Are you ready? One, two, three. Come on, give your loudest praise. Jesus! Woo! Come on, come on! Yes! Woo! I love that! Come on! Woo! Jesus! Hallelujah! You know, KUS is an amazing church. KUS is such a great church. And the reason why KUS is a great church, you know, a church is as good only as its leader. I want to thank Pastor Peter here once again. Come on, give him a big hand. And over just a few encounter with this guy, this young man here, I want to talk about Samuel here today. I think he is really a gem. You know, I sense so much authenticity when I talk to this young man there, and I felt like this is what this generation need. Raw, real, authentic man here, and Samuel, you are the kind of man. I just want to give praise to God for you. Hey, not done celebrating. I want to give a shout out to all the newcomer here. First time, second time, third time in KUS here. Give them a big hand, come on. If you brought a friend, just give them a big shout out. Hey, lastly, just the last one. I really want to honor this person. She is the most important person in my life. She is amazing. Could you just say hi to my wife over there? Just say hi to her. She's carrying my baby. She's the mother of my child. She's amazing. She made me a better man. And without her, I won't be here, all right? Let's just give a big hand to my wife, Aishan, over there. Amazing. She is a Proverbs 31 lady, and I thank God for her. You know, my wife loves to watch movie, and recently we went to catch a show. It's called La La Land. How many of y'all watch La La Land? Oh man, I tell you, right towards the end of the movie, I was crying like a baby. And I was just crying and crying. And then to the left side, I heard a lady sobbing. And that was my wife. And it was such a, you know, it was a, such a sad ending in the story where the guy didn't get together with the girl. Oh no, did I just spoil a movie? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have warned you. But it was a movie that let me cry like for a good 5 minutes. I remember that we were the last one to leave the theater. Everyone left the theater, and both of us were there looking at each other, and we were still crying. It was a unique experience. And we even talk about the movie the next day. oh, it was a sad ending. But here I am to tell you that with Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, it will be a good ending. It will be a happy ending. And that's what the Bible says. We are going to have a happy ending with Jesus. If you are with Jesus, you're going to have a happy ending with Jesus in heaven. And recently, my wife and I, we went to, she's just amazing. She, after she gave birth to my daughter, Maira, you know, she had to go back to work. And so I thought I would just be a nice husband. And so we booked a staycation in Orchard, right in the middle of a hotel, right in the middle of Orchard. We stayed in a hotel and it was like 3 days, two nights. And the first night, I remember clearly, you know, we were having dinner together. It was a buffet dinner and we're just relaxing and having a fun time there. And just right beside my table was this old couple. And this old couple kind of, this old man there, he kind of made me feel a little small. I mean, I am supposed to be the hero, the nice guy here who, you know, gave my wife a special treat, a nice staycation. But this old man here, sitting right beside us, man, he has so much love for his wife. The whole dinner, he's like giving food to the wife, and it was so sweet. And my wife and I just can't help but look over to that table. His eyes is always fixed on his wife. And I was like, wow, such an old couple and so much in love. And after they had their dinner, surprisingly, this old man came to me and pat me on the shoulder and said, son, how old are you? I said, I'm 30. Then he gave, you know, the old man's, the Santa Claus laughter. Ha ha ha. I'm married with my wife more than 40 years. And I was like, man, you know, my wife tell me this, and I really agree with her. She said this, you know, what impressed her the most is not about young couples holding hand and going to honeymoons and enjoying themselves and lovey-dovey. She said this, what she admired most about relationship is that when they reach the 80, the 90 years old, and they're still holding hand and they're still lovey-dovey. Oh my goodness, that just made my hair stand and made my wife's hair stand. How many of y'all know that it is easy to get into a relationship, but it's hard to be and keep a relationship? And what I'm trying to say is, it's easy to attain a relationship. Come on, young people. Alright, it's not hard, it's easy to attain a relationship. Facebook status and all says in a complicated relationship or whatever it is in a relationship. But it is hard to maintain a relationship. And that is why one out of three marriages in Singapore end up in a divorce. I remember as a child I was just that part of that one. My mom divorced my father when I was really young. And all my life, I realized it's easy for you to fall in love, but it's hard for you to keep falling in love over and over and over again. You know, today we're going to look from the Bible, amazing story. It's about a woman that, you know, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful, she has no problem getting the attention of men. Right? She is gorgeous. But she has a problem maintaining a relationship. The Bible tells us she has 6 relationships. And the person that she's staying with is not even her husband. And some of y'all know this story. We call her the Samaritan woman because she's from Samaria. Or we call her the woman at the well because she has a special encounter with Jesus at the well. And I want to talk to you about this woman here. By the way, ladies, I just want to say this. I thought this thought just came to my mind. You know, I recently just go back to the gym because after marriage, I begin to have a nice belly here. I told my wife it's a piece of art. But you know what? When I go to gym, I realize that guys like to carry all kinds of weight. They are clanging and banking, and sometimes I felt like, wow, you know, it's amazing the weights, the bench press, the amount of weight they carry. But ladies, I just want to tell you this, if there is a guy that can carry and lift all kinds of weight, but they can't lift a finger to touch this book, I would say that that guy is not for you. This book is an amazing book and it changed many, many lives. Can I just have my first slide here? By the way, the seven men that this lady met. Oh, if you know anything about numbers in the Bible, seven represent perfection, is Jesus. And the encounter with Jesus at the well brought a completion in her life. Just the next slide. Can I have just the next slide? The first verse. Thank you, God. Would you just pray with me and just ask God to bless His word? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people here. I'd right now release your love and your presence in a greater measure right now. Increase your presence right now. I release your presence right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beginning in John chapter 4, he says this, verse 4. The story begins when Jesus said Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Everybody say, had to go. One more time, had to go. Jesus had to go. You know what I like about the first verse of this story is that Jesus had to go to Samaria, not so he can preach to a big crowd. Oh man, it's so nice to preach to a big crowd. Not so he can preach to the 3,000s. This is not a story about the 3,000 or the 5,000 or the 10,000 or the 100,000. Man, Jesus had to go to Samaria because of one person. And it moved my heart so much because our God is not just a God of the masses. Because youth, the truth is this, when I look at all of you, you all look like little tiny Lego to me. I can't even see your face properly. I didn't bring my spec here today. And I just see a crowd. You don't know me, I don't know you. But I'm going to tell you that Jesus is here and he doesn't see a crowd. Our God is a personal God. And he sees each and every individual. The Bible says that he cares for you. The Bible says that he loves you. This is not a cliche. This is true. The Bible says that he numbers the very hair on your head. That means that every strand on your head, God knows. God knows your dreams. God knows your fears. God knows your past. God knows the girl that you like two rows from now on the right. Don't look at her right now, you give yourself away. No, I'm just kidding. And every time she look at you, you look away. So obvious, no, I'm just kidding. God knows your crushes, come on. Alright, by the way, the Polaroid station there, if you really want to take a photo with a crush, don't go to her personally, go as a group, alright? Too obvious, okay? Just telling you what not to do. Hey, our God is a personal God. And He sees you today and He loves you. Just the next slide. And the story continues in verse 5. Wow. It says this. Eventually, He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. Don't know how to pronounce that word. Or Zichar. You just imagine that place had a lot of hofan and chapeng. And near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, that was history, alright? That well has a deep historical, you know, story behind it. And Jacob well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noon time. Everybody say noon time. One more time, noontime. Nice. Soon. This is where the story comes. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, "Lady, please give me a drink." You see, it is weird to see a man sitting by the well. In those days, well is a place where women hang out. It is sort of like the marketplace right now. All the aunties, you know, after they buy the vegetable, they hang out at this place and they start gossiping and start talking. But Jesus was sitting there and waiting. And I love Jesus, man. What a pickup line. Lady, please give me a drink. I don't know, man. I think it's so cool. Jesus is so cool. I mean, when I watch movie and I know the pickup line guy, it's like, can I get you a drink? But Jesus say, can you give me a drink? Oh man, Jesus is so cool. Guys, please don't go to a lady and say, can you give me a drink? It doesn't work, alright? And so Jesus was there and he says, lady, can you give me a drink? And the lady probably thought, hey, you know, I'm a pretty nice lady. This man got my attention right now. Just another man. You know? But the thing is that Jesus was not after her body. Jesus was after her heart and her very soul. And when she looked at her eyes and says, lady, can I have a drink? Please give me a drink. It was not one of a look of lust. It was a look of love. A look that pierced right into her eyes and says, I love you, right at your core, at who you are. And we continue this story, and don't go to the next slide yet. You see, I ask you to say noontime because it is weird. It is weird for a lady to go to the well at noontime. How many of y'all know that during 12 p.m. is the hottest time of the day? Nobody wants to go out at 12 p.m. During my army days, there is no exercise or PT during 12 p.m. It's only after 3 p.m. then you have PT. But you see, this woman, it's weird for her. She went to the well to draw water at 12 p.m. Man, you don't draw water at 12 p.m. You draw water in the morning, where it's not hot at all. When the sun is about to rise, when the ladies of the village is gathering there, and as they take turn to draw water, they are there talking to each other. Hey, you know, have you heard of that? And they were gossiping. Could it be that this lady is what the women gossip about? I mean, she is an immoral woman, which is not culturally accepted during those days. And the women would gather in the daytime and say, oh yeah, you know, that's so and so. And she had no choice at the hottest time where there's no one at the well. You see, she would go and draw water. She would go there alone and she would go back alone. She was a social outcast. Little does she know that day when she met with Jesus, her life was about to change. Bam. Because God has an appointment with her. And God has an appointment with you today. You see, before the first person that entered into this room today, Jesus is here. As he was that person that alone waiting for the women at the well, I want to tell you that Jesus was here waiting in this auditorium. He was waiting and he's looking to and fro, looking from the left to the right, from the back to the front. And he's saying, is there anyone that needs me today? And that was this Samaritan woman. And Jesus had an appointment with her. You know, the Bible tells us, just the next slide. The Bible tells us that God is love. And then 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, love never fails. And the reason why love never fails, because God is love. And God never fails. You know what I know about love? You all have so much workshop. My friend Jiahao and Ruth was here, and I think they're just an awesome couple. What a couple to share with you about relationship. But here's the thing I learned about love. Love doesn't force. Love doesn't force. And what I'm trying to say is God is not a rapist. You know, a rapist forces himself onto someone. That is not love. That is lust. That is selfishness, that is self-centeredness, but God is not a rapist and He doesn't force Himself on you. And today, what that means is, although God's presence is here with us, but God will not force Himself into your heart. The Bible says, in Revelation 3, it says that, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And if any man hears my voice, let him open the door and invite me in." You see, God doesn't play, our perception of God sometimes could be, "Hey, I'm God, I'm sovereign. Bam! I'm going to kick open your door of your heart right now and enter." No, He doesn't do that. Love doesn't force. I met my wife about 7 years ago. We were in Philippines. I was there for a mission trip. If you want to find your love of your life, go for a mission trip. No, I'm just kidding. And it was my 5th week in Philippines, and I went to this island called Davao. And there, she was one of the hosts that welcomed, and immediately, my eyes went to her, and it was love at first sight. She was beautiful, she was gorgeous, and I immediately went to God, and I prayed to God. I remember, when I have to leave for the mission trip, I was so sad. I wish I would stay in Philippines. I remember praying this prayer in the airport. I say, "God, if this is the lady of my life, bring me back to the land of Philippines." And before we go, she gave me a friendship bracelet, you know. I remember when I reached Singapore, this is what I do. That was so funny. I'm telling you my closet story right now. I remember I placed that friendship band right at my room, and I kneel before God and said, "God, let her feel it, that I love her." Oh man. Three years later, I got an opportunity to go back to Philippines. And I was like, "Oh, this is my moment." And I made myself known in front of her. But she towed me, you know. She gave me a cold shoulder. And I was angry. I was angry with her. And the next day I went to Philippines, I said, "Nah, I'm not going to talk to her again." But I realized that I cannot force my love on her. And the last mission trip, I mean, before we got married, I went to her, and our friendship just grow. And then we have this long distance relationship. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if God is writing your love story, nothing is impossible. We were like WhatsApping each other, Skyping each other for 3 years. And you know something about Philippine Wi-Fi? Oh my goodness. I would say, "How's your day?" Looking at her, and I got so frustrated. "Why are you so fast? It's your Wi-Fi!" But here's the thing, when our friendship is just growing, I remember WhatsApping her. We were WhatsApp to like 3 a.m. in the middle of the night, and we were just learning about each other. I remember I would just ask her, "Hey, what's your favorite color?" "Oh, pink color." "What is your favorite flower?" "Rose." I almost forgot that, and I'm just kidding. And we're just beginning to find out what she likes and what she don't. Hey guys, by the way, I think if you want to date a girl, please don't ask awkward questions on your first date. But awkward is like, you know, the girl kind of feel like you like her, and you say, "Hey, how many children you want if you get married?" Hey, that is just awkward, okay? That will scare the girl out. You don't ask, you ask, "Hey, by the way, here's a great tip. Guys, I'm on your side right now. Here's one of the best questions to ask on your first date. Talk about your childhood." You know where I learned that from? I learned from a Christian dating book. I don't care about all the principles. Oh, conversation started. I bought the book. $20 just for that. Well, talk about childhood. I remember I took a picture of my childhood photo. I said, "Guess which one is me?" And there, the rest is history. All right. Hey, it was awesome. I mean, those days was amazing. But she told me this story. She said this. She said, When I was young, my father used to catch a firefly. And there was once he released it right in front of my eyes, and she used this word, it was so magical. And that time we were not together yet, you know, there were six other guys who were chasing after her. And I was the seventh man. There were eye doctors, she told me, there was a captain of a ship, and there was even a forensic scientist from Singapore. Oh, that was my friend. After that, he unfriended me on Facebook. Lost a friend. By the way, my Facebook, no, my Instagram is at @E_JeremyLee. You can follow me. Hey, I'm just kidding. I just want to tell you that in this age, as long as you follow Jesus, doesn't matter how many followers you have on Instagram. You get a heart shape from God, from Facebook. I'm following Jesus, yeah. And the rest doesn't matter. And so this is my winning move. You know, love is action. Love, you know, if a guy come and tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and it's all thought, no action, hey, stay away from the guy. And so this was my finishing move. I knew I have to do something that will touch her heart. And I thought of catching a firefly for her. But my only recollection of firefly in Singapore was when I was doing marching in the army 3 a.m. in the middle of the night in the jungle, and one firefly come. And you hear the cricket, quick, 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 and you ask yourself, God, why am I here? Right in the middle of the jungle. And I say, no way I'm going back to those jungle. So I Google and I realized there is a firefly swarm where you can have dinner at the boat, and in the evening the fireflies by the hundreds and thousands will come, and it was magical. So you know what I did? That day itself, it was her birthday, 19th of August. You know what I did? I called the shop, no one pick up. I took out my passport all the way from Pasir Ris. I took a cab to Woodland, went to Malaysia. I took a photo of myself. I'm in Malaysia. And I tell her that, hey, I mean it when I say I really have a liking of you. I'm going to beat these six guys. All right. And I went to take a personal private driver. I don't even know him. He doesn't even know me. And I pay him money. I said, can you bring me to this place? It was a 1 hour ride from Johor Bahru. I don't even know where I am. When I reached there, the place was closed. Oh, man. But I took a picture of myself at that place, and I sang her a birthday song at night, and I told her that, hey, you know, thereafter I say, would you consider being a relationship with me? And then she accept, and that was amazing. Oh, you can clap. Why I share this story is because, you know, love takes wooing. I tell you that God is wooing your heart even right now. Some of you are beginning to feel the presence of God here. That is not my story. That is not my voice. Listen, I'm just a man like you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit here in this place. You see, Jesus did not just go to Malaysia to catch some fireflies to prove his love for you. God wooed us with his love. The Bible says that he demonstrate, you see, it needs action. He show it to us. The Bible says that he demonstrate his love towards us. And it says, how does he demonstrate? He died on the cross for you and for me. You see, God did not just left Singapore to Malaysia. God came from heaven to earth so that you and I can go from earth to heaven. And that is our God. And it's when I say God is love, it is real. He laid his life down for you and for me. And let's continue this story. And it says this. He was alone at the time. And everybody say, alone. Hey. But that is quite a nice tone for alone. Alone. He was alone at the time because his disciple had gone into the village to buy some food. I just want to add to this that Jesus was alone so he can touch a person that is lonely. How many of y'all know how loneliness is like? You know, wow, I see some hands. I didn't ask you to raise up your hand, but you can raise up your hand if you want to. Hey, I know how loneliness feels. You know, you can be in a big crowd like this, sitting there and still feel lonely? You know, you can be up here preaching and you can be up here leading worship and you can be up here hosting and yet still feel lonely. You know, you can have 1,000 followers, that's too little, 20,000, 100,000 followers on Instagram and Twitter and still feel lonely. You know, this is going to catch somebody by surprise here. I'm going to tell you this. You know, you can be in a relationship and yet still feel lonely. Because loneliness is not about how many friends you are. I heard someone say that loneliness is means that you doesn't know what it feels like to be in my shoe. And that's loneliness. And for this woman, this Samaritan woman, she was a lonely woman. She's saying, you doesn't know what it feels like to be in my shoe. I am crying out on the inside and no one cares. I will go out 12 noon to draw water, but Jesus had to go there because he cares for that one person. And she was that lonely person. My mom gave birth to me when she was 16 years old, taking her O-level. I think my dad, my biological dad, I have not seen him for 18 years already. And I don't think he really loved her at that time. She was just making use of her body. And then I was. And when I grew up, I always felt like I am a mistake. And that's what loneliness is like. I have a secret to tell you. Aishan, my wife, is my first girlfriend. And she's my first wife, no. One and only wife. And I'm also her first boyfriend. Oh. But here's the thing. This is what nobody knows. The reason why she's my first girlfriend is because I was afraid of dating. I feel lonely on the inside. I feel insecure about my family background. I feel insecure about my background. And there was once in poly when I almost got together with a girl. And in those days, they ask this question. The guy will ask this question, want to stay or not? I don't know if now still got this lingo or not. You want to stay or not? Want to go steady or not? This is our lingo when I was... But I didn't ask her the question. I remember it was at her void deck and she asked me, hey, want to go steady or not? Want to stay or not? And I felt so insecure about my background and I say, hey, this is as far as we can go. I don't think we can progress further. And that is loneliness. I don't know what is your life about, but maybe you are here lonely today and I have a good news for you. The Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 8, the Lord is near to those who are broken hearted. The Lord is close to those who have a broken heart. And you are here today, you enter into this room. You know, you can be a live wire like I am. In my poly days, I am the live wire of my friends. I make them laugh. And yet you still feel lonely. If that is you, I have good news for you today. God is here and God is near to you. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. You just need to respond to him. And in verse 9, the woman was surprised. For Jews, you see, Jews are the pure blood. They don't intercultural marry. The Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were Jews, but then they have a cross-cultural marriage and the Jews kind of despise Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, maybe, you know, this guy is boasting. He wanted to pick me up and asked me to give him a drink. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. You asking me for a drink? You know what I like about this verse is Jesus is so countercultural. He breaks all the cultural rule to reach out to this woman. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether Jews and Samaritans have a hatred for one another. He doesn't care. He breaks all rules to reach out to that woman and he's going to break all rules just to reach out to you today. And in verse 10, Jesus replied, lady, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you will ask me and I will give you living water. Everybody say gift. One more time. Say give as though you just received a wonderful gift. Come on. Gift! Awesome. All right. You know, it is this gift that Jesus was talking about, and man, this man is asking me to give him a drink, and now he's boasting of living water. Oh my goodness. I would think that's what is going on in the Samaritan woman's mind. But Jesus was talking about a gift of eternal life. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Is that living water that Jesus, that living water that Jesus is talking about is eternal life. And God is giving you a gift today, and you simply need to just stretch out your hand and just receive it. And then, in verse 11, it says, but, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. Hey, enough of your boasting. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob? He built this well there. The water, right now to this day, thousands of years ago, he's still feeding his sons and the animals still enjoying it. And Jesus replied to her and says, lady, anyone who drink this water will soon become thirsty again. And verse 14, and it says this, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Everybody say thirsty again. And it become a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You know, I like it when people worship God and they start jumping because there is a bubbling joy within them that they cannot contain. The last time I preached here, someone commented and said, wow, you're very energetic, huh? Yes, I am energetic. I am energetic about Jesus because there is a well that is sprinkling. And whenever I talk about Jesus, no matter how I feel when I stand out on this stage, there is a well that just bubbled up. He changed my life. And you see, Jesus wasn't talking to this lady about that Jacob's well. He was talking about the well of life. In fact, he was asking the women a question and says, what are you drawing from in life to feel the loneliness in your heart, to feel the emptiness in your heart, to feel the void in your heart, to feel the pain in your heart? It could be a well of alcohol. I remember when I was in poly, I felt such deep loneliness and pain. My friend and I would draw from the well of alcohol and I would just drink bottles. You know, it was just 15 of us and we were like easily 3-4 bottles alcohol just to numb that pain. I remember there was one night, it was the last time I said I will ever get drunk again. I was 18 years old, Pasir Ris chalet. I remember clearly 3 a.m. I was on one corner and my friend was another corner. And both of us were Malayan. And I was drunk, and from drunk, I vomited until it was so painful I became awake. But I said that this doesn't help to numb my pain. It's even more painful. God, help me. Maybe it's a well of romance. Oh, if that girl, that class monitress, wow, if I get together with her, I will be satisfied in my life. Maybe it's a well of relationship, or a well, may I say this to guys, or maybe even to girls, a well of pornography. You know, I'm one of these preachers who tell you this, that sin is fun. I won't hide it from you. I want to tell you that sin is fun. I want to tell you that sin brings pleasure. In fact, the Bible says that, oh yes, sin brings pleasure. But the pain that you have after you enjoy sin puts you in a worse state than you were before. Listen, the devil is a liar. He tells you, hey, draw from that well and it'll satisfy you. And you say, yes, it will satisfy me. Just numb this pain that I'm feeling right now. My parents doesn't care. My family doesn't care. Chinese New Year just happened. And they ask, compare me with another person about their result. You know, I just have enough of this. Hey, I want to tell you, only Jesus satisfies. Ladies, I just want to tell you this. And I'm also speaking to my wife there because we have this conversation before. I'll let you know that there is no man in this world that can satisfy the deepest desire of your heart. No man. My wife and I, we got married and it was still kind of enjoying our marriage and pray that it will be that 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, I don't know. But I know something. And she knows something. She can never satisfy the deepest desire of my heart. And I can never satisfy the deepest desire of her heart. Only Jesus can. There's no such thing as my prince charming on a white horse. He, you know, like when you watch like Descendant of the Sun. Oh, that's my kind of guy. By the way, I asked my wife and some of my spiritual daughters and I asked them, hey, do you like guys who are muscular? He said, no, it's so disgusting. I think the only thing that will cause a guy, wow, so muscular is another guy. How do you do that? You know what is attractive to a girl, I felt? Being like Jesus. Jesus is a man's man. The Bible says he is the lion and the lamb. Wow, this is a beautiful contrast because I know of guys who know how to be a lion. Hey, wanna fire? Hey, wanna fire? Oi, hey, see my girl, I don't wanna fire. And I also know of guy that know how to be a lamb. Very gentleman. But when time crisis come, they run away. Hide behind. Hey, you're fire. But Jesus know how to be a lion and a lamb. When it's time to protect, oh man, if somebody here says something nasty about my wife, come on, I'm gonna go to the Dragon Ball Super Saiyan. You know? If somebody there will touch my daughter, I am going to be a lion. And if there's someone that is broken hearted, that's where the lamb kick in. Give me a drink, lady. Hey, I'm looking and after your heart today. And listen, God is after your heart today. And let's continue that story and we're going to land somewhere. I just want to say, from that part, whatever well you drink from, you will be thirsty again. Verse 16. Wow, should I have brought my spec? Getting older. Jesus told her, and this is where, I believe, I imagine the story that this is where the woman facial expression changed. She thought that Jesus is picking her up, you know, like some other guy, like the sixth man before her. And she said, Jesus told her and said, go get your husband. The woman replied, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You know, you don't have a husband. You have five husbands. And the one that you married to, you're not even married. And the woman probably paused for a while and know that there is a divine exchange there. Oh man, this is not just natural. And say, sir, you must be a prophet. And listen, Jesus is not just a prophet. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And he's going, oh yes, he's your Prince Charming. He's going to come back one day on a white horse. And on the horse, he write King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, when we read this story, we often think of church that just want to condemn people about their sin. Jesus was exposing her sin, not so that he can condemn her, you know, like take a big Bible and pam, you know. It's not, my friend Raphael was saying, well, I have such a big Bible, I can use to beat people. No, Jesus was not doing that. Jesus was exposing her sin, not to condemn her, not to ridicule her, but to show her a way out. Say, hey, draw from me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Draw from this well of life here that satisfies you. I will give you abundant life. I will give you life that you never know of, that you'll never thirst again. That is me, but you need to open your heart towards me. And that was the encounter. What a wonderful, wonderful story that day. See, this woman was searching for love. We all are. no one in this room that doesn't like to be loved. Anyone there? You are weird, all right? Is there anyone who doesn't like to be loved? All right, no one, right? And everyone likes to give love. No one likes to be lonely. That's the truth. But this woman was searching for love, but she was settling for lust. She's saying, you know, fairy tale doesn't really happen. I settle for lust. And even though I know that these men are using my body, I'll give them because, you know what is said about our society nowadays, about this generation nowadays? It says that men give love. Listen to this. Men give love to have sex. You do all you can to get a woman. And then you have sex. And that's it. It's a story in the Old Testament. King David's son, he says that he loved this lady called Tama. I'm not scolding backwards. Tama is her name. It's really her name. And it says that King David's son liked her, and the Bible used this word, he loved her. And one day, he tricked Tamar into his room by pretending to fall sick, grabbed hold of her, violated her, and the Bible says that he hated her. And the hatred that he had for this woman is even greater when he first loved her. You know, that is not love, that is lust. Man gives love to have sex. Now women give sex to get loved. See the contrast there? Women give sex to have loved. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody is searching for love. I tell you, love is here, and that's Jesus. You know what? One thing I learned about maybe so many years as a Christian, got saved when I was 12 years old, so probably 18 years as a Christian. I learned this in the later part of my Christian life. You know, Bible has a lot of commandments. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You cannot love your neighbor unless you first love yourself. I remember growing up, I don't love myself. There's someone I'm speaking to here, right here in this room, you don't love yourself. I remember there were times when I, after bathing, and I would look into the mirror and I would scold myself, hate myself, and tears would flow down, and I'd say, I hate this person in the mirror. I wish you would die. And then I go to church and I say, love your neighbor. And I try my best to love one another, but it's so hard. How about this? Love husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I realize that it's hard to love my wife unless I first see that Christ loved me. And I learned this in Christianity. Christianity is not first giving and then receiving. I say that again. Christianity is not first giving and then receive. You know, this is how the world works. You give of your talents. You give of your time. You give of all this. Then you receive praise from your boss or your teachers or your even parents. It's not how Christianity works. It's opposite. Christianity is first receiving and then you can give. Here's a very simple but deep logic. You cannot give what you do not have. If someone come to me and say, hey, can I borrow $1,000 from you? And I say, hey, bro, my bank account are only $2 only. Eh. Okay, I'm not that poor. I can't lend to you. If I don't have this $1,000, I cannot give to this person. Simple logic, right? You cannot give what you do not have. You need to first receive of God's love. I just have the next slide. You know, this brings back memories. It was just 1 year ago, I decided to wear my inner piece. It's a three-piece suit. This is the piece that I wear during my wedding. This is not my pants, but this is my wedding is so awesome. I mean, I'm not here to boast, but it was the best wedding ever. I mean, I've attended a lot of weddings. It was by the beach, and the sun was setting, and it was so romantic, it was so dramatic, and it was so beautiful. And that day in the wedding, I was hoping that, what a long day, when Anna. But you know, there was one portion of the wedding that I really look forward to. We don't have this in Singapore wedding. Singapore wedding is, sing, But in this wedding, we have a dance floor. How many of you all know that I cannot dance? I cannot dance. But I practiced for 2 hours before this. We will go to, I'll open my laptop and we'll watch YouTube, waltz dance. For the first 10 minutes, I remember in our rehearsal, my wife was dancing and my then fiance was dancing or practicing the dance in the living room. We never learned how to do a waltz, right? I say, hey, this one very boring. Go to the part where you watch in Disney movie, right? Where the guy spin the girl. Then like that. And that was my moment. And I remember I said, hey, can we just practice the spinning part again? You know, I don't want to malu myself in front of people. Can we? And it's just, and when the whole say it's time for the couple dance, I was like, oh. Then my wife was wearing high heel that day, and she said, can we don't do the spinning thing that we learned? My leg is so painful. I was like, oh. But then and there, as I danced with her, it was the left hand this way. Left or right? Left. See, I told you I'm not a dancer. And I was holding her. I remember the dance, just very simple steps. The basic one is just holding her. Whatever you do, don't look down. Look in the eyes. Show that you're professional. It was one step forward to the left and then back. It was, I hope there's no dancing instructor here. Maybe I teach the wrong thing. You know, Christianity is a lot like that. Sometimes you cannot go forward because you first need to go backwards and receive from God. And some of y'all here today are lonely. You are not certain, you are not so sure if you have a relationship with God. I want to tell you that God is here. And God is not a rapist. 18 years ago, I remember that it was at Singapore Indoor Stadium. And someone go up to the stage, I was only primary 6, and preached about God's love. And I responded to him, and that day changed my life. I'm not saying that God changed your life, you become super sane immediately. But there was a turning point in my life, just like this woman when she has an encounter with Jesus, there was a turning point in her life. And some of you all need to have a turning point in your life today. I get a worship band to come up, and I'm just going to land very, very shortly. Very, very shortly. It's my wedding ring, very small. Some people say I have a hand of a girl, very small hand also. Wow. By the way, some of my youth, some of my friends from my church is here to just support me. Can you just give them a big hand? 316 Church, awesome. Thanks for coming. I didn't get to choose my wedding ring. My mother-in-law chose my wedding ring. I'm still bitter about that. Please pray for me. And in this wedding ring, there are 5 stones. 5 in the Bible represent grace. It's by God's grace that our wedding will push on. 6 represent the fall of man. There's 6 men in this woman's life that never satisfy her. But when the 7th man, number of completion come into her life was changed. I wrote my own wedding vow on my wedding day. My mom and my stepfather didn't come for my wedding, even though I invited them. It was my pastor who represent them. I feel on that day happy. Even though my mom did not come. I say it's the best wedding ever because I sense so much of God's presence in my wedding. I remember going up to my guests and say, my father is here today and he's God. And listen, the Bible says that all good gifts comes from him. Some of you doubt if you're ever going to get a relationship. You look yourself in the mirror and you look at your looks and you think you're not so pretty, you think you're not so handsome. Hey, by the way, I used to have a gap in my teeth and I think I look at the ugliest man on earth. But the Bible says that all good gifts comes from heaven. Before you get into any relationship, you first need to receive love. There is God. There is Jesus. I remember I said this. And as we were exchanging our wedding vow, I look her into the eyes and I say, hey, and all I want to do is just who God is to me. Because I know I cannot give what I do not have. There's many men and women who have made that vow. Their marriages has failed. And I say, I just want to be who God is to you by God's grace. That day when we finish our wedding guests, some of them are not even Christians. And many of them said this, I felt the presence of God here. You know, when God shows up, surely need very little words. Right here, the presence of God is here and I sense Him. But you need to come out to Him. And as the music plays, God is placing a ring right now before you. Although you can't see this ring, faith says this is evidence of things unseen. You know He's speaking to you. And He says this, would you trust me? You see, the thing about this ring is that it's circular and it's round. The only reason why a ring is round, not only reason, because your finger is fits nicely. But the reason why a ring is round is because it represents an infinite love. And reason why ring is not made of, many times made of precious matter, because it talks about love being precious. Don't give your love away cheaply. God is placing a ring right in front of everyone. Remember, I said God is a personal God. Does He have enough love for me? Oh yes, yes, He's an infinite God. And He has already given His vow to you. I read these vows. You say, I do to God. And I choose Romans 8. It says, nothing. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, that means good angels and bad angels, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, whether is it right now or in the future, no height, no depth, nor any other thing, created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God says He will never leave you nor forsake you. You say, Jeremy, what should I do to receive this love? Number one, God is dealing with your sin. Submit, you are a sinner. I'm just like you. I'm a sinner. Just like the woman at the well. She was a sinner. Number two, repent from that sin. To repent is you're walking in this direction and you just make a U-turn and says, hey, I'm not going there anymore. I'm going this way. I'm going after God. I'm following God. You see, what I did not show you in this passage is that this woman, when she received God's love, she was so excited. The Bible says that she left her water pots at the well. She said, I don't need this anymore. And she went to the village and said, look, I just met Jesus, my Prince Charming. He told the men of the city, he told the women of the cities. Number 3, realize that Jesus died on the cross for you. Romans 5, for God demonstrate his love towards you. Before you make a first sin, Christ died for you. Number 4, you need to receive Jesus into your heart. And what that means is this. You're going to open the door of your heart and say, God, I'm going to let you in. I'm going to give you an opportunity later to do that. Number 5, the 5th thing. I want you to do it publicly. You see, Jesus is not afraid and not ashamed to die publicly. In fact, when he died, he was naked. It's not like some movie that depicts him as having a... He was naked, he was shamed, but he's not ashamed of you. And I want you to do it publicly. The Bible says that if you deny me before men, that's what Jesus said, I will deny you before the angels and the Father. But if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you before the Father and the angels. And there's a huge applause on that day. It's almost as a bride walk in and the angels were the guests and they were clapping. And turn by turn, Jesus standing at the bridegroom is standing here and he's applauding you as well. And he said, that's my beautiful bride. You need to do it now. Some of you are saying, I'll do it another day. Know what that means? That means I'm not interested. So I'm going to call you to respond to what God is doing. Can I just ask you to close your eyes for a moment and bow your head and Father, I thank you. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. First John 4:18 says there is no fear in love. And so fear, I speak to you right now. Get out of this place. But perfect love casts out all fears. Fear has got to do with punishment. Listen, God is not here to shame you. Bible says that love can cover a multitude of sin. I don't care what you have done. Can God still wash away your sins? He can. Doesn't matter. Is his blood powerful? Oh yes, it is. And Jesus is here. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to count the 3. If you are here and you say that I have not received Jesus into my heart, I want you to put up your hand at count of 3. This invitation is for you. Or if you are here today and you want to make a recommitment to Jesus, you know, you have drawn from other things in life, other wells that you know that doesn't satisfy, and you don't even feel the presence of God anymore in your life, listen, today is a good day to make a recommitment to Jesus. If you are here and you want to accept Jesus and make a recommitment to him, on the count of 3, I want you to put up your hand. 1, today is the day. God is here. 2, 3, put up your hand. Right, I see many hands. You are not alone. Good. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up publicly. Alright, if you raise up your hand, I want you to stand up publicly and make a stand for Jesus here today. Don't be ashamed of him. By you standing up, he's saying, I'm not ashamed. Yes. Yes, stand up. Stand up for him. Stand up. Make a stand for Jesus here today. You want a recommitment for Jesus here today? Make a stand for him. Doesn't matter what your friend thinks. As long as you got a light from Jesus, that's good. Stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Pray this out loud with me. Say, dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I right now turn away from my sin to come to you. And ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just one more invitation. I know I'm just a little bit off time. I really sense that there's someone here that just been beating yourself. You feel so lousy about yourself. Hey, I want you to know that God says here, right here to you right now, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are amazing. There is no two you. If that is you, could you, whatever posture is good for you, maybe it's outstretched, maybe placing your hand on your heart, maybe placing your hand on your eyes to say that I'm going to have a new lens about myself, I'm going to love myself. That is you. I want you to respond in whatever gesture you want. Just put your hand on your heart and I want you to declare this over yourself. In fact, let's have everybody declare this together and say this. I am beautiful. No, you are not saying it as though you believe it. Say it. I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am wonderful.
I am wonderful.
I am special. I am a friend of God. Oh, you don't believe this. God wants to be your friend. I am a friend of God. I am loved by God. And I will love myself. Thank you, God.
Can I invite all of us to stand? And as we do that, I'm just going to ask the worship team to lead us in a song. But here's what I'd like for us to do. Now, we really want to be able to bless especially the people who have responded. You say that I want to give my life to Jesus, you know, and this is something that you're doing for the very first time. So can I just ask that even as our worship leader do that, that those of you who are responding in that manner, can I just ask that you let your friend know, because I believe that you've been brought a friend, and for the friend just to bring you out together to the front. Is that okay? Right, because we want to take this time to know you personally, to be able to bless you. Now at the same time, those of you who you have given your life to Jesus before, but you're taking tonight to recommit yourself. If you wish for prayer, you can do that as well. Alright, to come to the front just so that we can bless you. But for those of you who are giving your life to Jesus for the first time, I just ask that you come to the center so that we know who you are. Alright, and don't be afraid. This is really a place that we know there is safety, that there can be an open time for us to respond. Okay? So can you just do that immediately right now and ask the worship team to lead us.
Faithfulness to me.
Service. Okay, you have gotten this small pouch, I believe, as they are coming out, right? So why don't you just take it out right now? And I hope you haven't opened it, because now is the moment we're gonna open it. Alright. Okay, if you do not have, you just raise your hands so that our ushers can come to you. But if you have, just hold it in your hands for a while we wait for the rest to receive theirs. Once you have taken your pouch out, you can fish out of the pouch and a Ziploc bag inside, right, to see actually there's a ring. Okay, I think most of you can actually feel it's a ring really. Right? So, those of you who have it, just take out and you can take a look at this ring. I know just now Pastor Jeremy talked about, you know, the ring, what it represents. Ushers, are you around? Okay, just keep your hand up until someone comes to you. Now, while you're receiving a ring, in case your friends is up in the front praying and they get to hear what I'm saying, so later on you can just explain to them, alright, what basically this ring represents. Any more? Okay, anyone else doesn't have? Just raise your hand so I know. Okay, looks like all of us have. Alright, why don't you just hold your ring? Face me and just hold your ring so that I know you have. Now, if you look at the outside of the ring, you'll see that there's this word engraved that is faithful, right? Not on the inside, it's some serial number, right? But on the outside, you'll see this word faithful that is engraved, right? So we are going to give to you this ring as a sign that God is giving you this ring. And there's really three things that I want to talk about with the word faithful. Now, when we think about love, you know, especially in the context of boy-girl love, sometimes we think of like, wow, something romantic. And God's love, when you think about God's love, maybe it's not the romantic kind, but yet it's still very powerful. And one of the ways God's revealed himself to us, his love, is through faithfulness. The fact that no matter what goes on in your life today and even in the days to come, all the way until you're 80, 90, he will still be faithful to you. So that's the love of God. So the first thing that I want to talk about faithfulness is that God's love is expressed to you in faithfulness. Amen? that this is really how you receive God's love, that you remember that He's faithful to you, no matter what your circumstances are. So that's the first thing. The second thing we give to you this ring is to remind you to be faithful to God. Because God is faithful to you, therefore you find the strength to be faithful to Him. And the third thing that we want to encourage you is to be faithful to your future husband or wife. Right? We talk about being holy, being set apart for God. And because God is faithful to you, you know that you have the love that helps you to be faithful to Him and to your future spouse. Even no matter how lonely you might feel today, that you know that God can strengthen you to be faithful, to keep yourself pure. So really today, whether you are attached happily, I hope, or you are single like me, right? I also hope happily, not... Okay, but even if you are feeling very alone, God's love is really, you know, shared with you through this ring, that faithfulness that He has to you. Is that okay? So I'm just going to close this service. You can just hold on to this ring, or if you can, if it fits you, you can even wear it, right? By reminding you of God's faithfulness to you, and by of reminding you of the call for us to be faithful to Him as well as to our future partners. Is that okay? So shall we all stand? And with your ring in your hand or your finger, let me just bless you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you tonight that we really know how much you love us, that you will go all the way out just to give of your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we know that today your Spirit is still with us, and you're always watching over us. In your faithfulness, you never let us go. Even in the times that we are faithless, you remain faithful, because the Bible tells us that you are not disowned of yourself. You see us as your very being. And so we thank you that you'll always be faithful to us. And as we learn about your faithfulness, help us to commit ourselves to you, whether is it for the first time today or for the umpteen times, you know, many times that we have done. We know that you are faithful, and we want to be faithful to you, God. So strengthen our commitment to you. And also for our future spouse, sometimes we are so lonely that we end up looking for love in the wrong places. But today, as we learn about your faithfulness, may it also strengthen us so that we can keep our heart, our bodies pure for the one that you will bring to our lives at the right time, O God. So as we go from this place, let your faithfulness truly be what undergirds us. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Shall we just give Jesus a big hand again? All right. Now, if you want to remind yourself, you can just wear it, or you can, you know, put it on a chain, wear it on your neck like Frodo. Okay, in case you do not have a ring, just some quick announcements before you go. The first one is that in case you do not have your ring, you can go to the admin counter to get one. This week is our last date for sign up for JPI camp. So for those of you who have not done so, you can go to the counter. And last but not least, can I have a slide up? There we have our next speaker, Dorothy Jason, who will come and speak to us. So bring a friend here. Okay, one last thing. Can we just give Pastor Jeremy a big round of applause? Alright, just thank him for coming to speak to us. Okay? So God bless you, and we will see you next week.